ಶ್ರೀವತ್ಸರಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
This area here, the first priority is for the Gurukul boys. There's some space over the side there. Once the Gurukul boys have got their spots there, if there's any spaces left, you can sit there.
Okay, so now, because many have come a little bit later, we're going to review. I mean, this will be the natural point of it, but we had started the other way around. We had done it first. So basically we're going to, is now we have heard the concept of the importance of the Vedas, the Vedic principles and the literature, and how what we're studying is connected to that and how it's the essence, so that we're comfortable that studying Gita is not just a book, or it's a simple book. Prabhupada's called it the ABCs, so that makes it so simple. No, this means that, that it is simple in that it is taking the essence and giving it to us in a way that we can understand it, who are just beginning in the study of Shastra. Right? Does that make sense? Because Bhagavatam, that's considered advanced study. But Gita is considered the preliminary. Though, of course, Gita being the essence of the Vedic literature, that preliminary is on a very different level. You know, it's like an honors course or something like that. But the idea is that we should be confident that by knowing the Gita, that you will then actually understand what philosophy is there in the Vedic literature, that there's not something missing, right? Because there's always that idea of some mystique, that there's something missing, something more, something special, something unique. No, but the special, the unique, that something more, that is the Bhagavad Gita, right? And then, because that's, so it's like Dwarka is perfect, Mathura is more perfect, Vrindavan's most perfect, right? So in the same way as study of the Bhagavad Gita and these books that are that Prabhupada's connected with it, that is perfect. It gives you the solid basis, and this is already on a very elevated level. Then from there, then it moves into more perfect, right? So then you have the Bhagavatam and all that. Then Chaitanya Charitamrita. Does that make sense? So that we study up to now, so that one is convinced that this is complete, and what you're studying, there isn't something beyond this, something, you know, unique that you have to go running around looking after. No, what Prabhupada's given is the essence. Right? So then the next natural stage is, now that we understand that, then we need to understand the presentation of the Vedic literature. Right? So then in that, then there's certain things that are always the way the Vedas always present themselves. Every Shastra works on particular methods, right? They don't work on a different method. They work from the principle of, we have what's called anvikshiki, which means it's a combination of the philosophy that you're trying to present and a method of presentation, right? So that combination. So atmavidya means the knowledge that you're presenting, right? So this knowledge of the soul, that's atmavidya. So all this, for us, the dasamul, understanding the sambandha abhideya and prayojana, these aspects, this is atmavidya, right? Then hetuvidya, right? These two comprise anvikshiki, atmavidya, hetuvidya. Hetuvidya is the method of presentation, right? So this is all centered around logic, right? So in this logic, then we have what's called panchanga nyaya, in that the logic is presented in a very, how do you say, concise and straightforward method, that you have these different parts that you're dealing with, that you're trying to establish a way of thinking. Because this way of thinking means you have to take what's happening right now and deal with it. It's not a matter of something in the future, it's not a matter of something in the past. Those will have influence, right? Because where you're going and where you're coming from have influence. But the actual important thing is what's going on right now. What are you doing right now, right? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur then makes a point here. So he gives here a proper mode of thinking. This is a quote from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is from his work called The Bhagavat. The student is to read the facts with a view to create, and not with the object of fruitless retention. Students, like satellites, should reflect whatever light they receive from authors, and not imprison the facts and thoughts, just like the magistrates imprison the convicts in jail. Right? In other words, knowledge that's learned is supposed to be used to apply it. You're supposed to develop, the old word used for the Brahmins is regenerate ones. It means that they're always developing, always generating like that. Degenerate means it's going down. Regenerate means it's going up. Right? So this is the idea. You don't just memorize facts. So in this study, the importance isn't on the facts being memorized. If the importance is on understanding the principles that are there and being able to apply them. So naturally, there's going to be certain elements that you're going to have memorized. But that comes by association. You know, and if you study it a little bit, it always helps. But it's not going to be a matter of you can just memorize something and give a big list. That's nice. But if you can't use that list, what's the use of the knowledge? Right? So the emphasis is on the ability to be able to understand and use what's being taught. Right? Thought is progressive. The author's thought must have progress in the reader in the shape of correction or development. Right? So whatever thought is there for the idea of moving one forward. So you should be able to take that and do something. It's either correcting something that's wrong or making something that's right better. Does that make sense? Or taking one from a wrong position to a right position. In any case, some progress is there. He is the best critic who can show the further development of an old thought, but a mere denouncer is the enemy of progress and consequently of nature. Right? In other words, the critic is going to say, there's a thought, it's useless. Right? No, it's a matter of it's making a point, trying to move someone from point A to point B. Okay, maybe we're trying to deal with point Z, but still A and B are still okay. Now we just have to show how you get it from B up to Z. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not a matter of that it's useless. It's a foundation for anything. Any thought has some benefit if you know how to think. Right? In other words, what's being spoken is not the essential point. It's what is being meant by what is spoken. Because some people are not very good at articulating exactly what they mean. And some people don't even know what they mean. They just know it works. You know what I'm saying? So you get both. Someone who's very clever and someone who's just very practical. Begin anew, says the critic, because the old masonry does not answer at present. Let the old author be buried because his time is gone. Right? You know, just like the Vedas, they're 5,000 years old. Chaitanya Charitamrita and his, they're 500 years old. Prabhupada, that's 100 years ago. Or he came to America, but that was in the 60s, that was 40 years ago. This is the critic that we're talking about. Right? You don't have to worry that we're talking about someone else. We're talking about those who take whatever is there, throw it out, right? If the management's not going right, then what do? Bring in new management. What does that mean? You have to throw out everything the old management did is wrong. Even though they may have been doing a lot that was right. The point is you're supposed to correct what's wrong. That's what a thought's for. And to move things forward. For what's wrong, correct that. And what's right, keep it. Otherwise, it will just be chaos. Then you have to throw the other, because there were some things that were right that you threw out, and you added some things, you corrected what was wrong. But because you've thrown out things that are useful, then whatever position you take, it will have to be overturned by the same thing and thrown out. So if that's what you want to do, work your life to establish something that someone else is going to throw out because you established yourself by throwing them out, be my guest. But if you are interested in functioning as a human being, going back to Godhead, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not making that recommendation. Right? In other words, what's wrong, correct, and what's right, move forward. That is real thinking. That is broad-minded. Everything else is narrow-minded and foolishness. Right? You get the idea? So in other words, whatever position you're at, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Start from there. Move forward. You don't have to throw something out. You just have to correct anything that's not right and develop what is correct. Does that make sense? This is the process of progress. These are shallow expressions. Progress certainly is the law of nature, and there must be corrections and developments with the progress of time. But progress means going further or rising higher. Now if we are going to follow our foolish critic, we are to go back to our former terminus. Another critic of his stamp will cry out, begin anew because the wrong road has been taken. In this way, our stupid critics will never allow us to go over the whole road and see what is in the other terminus. Thus the shallow critic and the fruitless reader are the two great enemies of progress. We must shun them. Right? The shallow critic says everything's wrong, and fruitless reader, someone who studies and doesn't apply his knowledge. These are both the enemies, actually, of progress. Because you want to progress, but whatever it is, it's wrong where you're starting from. So they're saying you have to go all the way back to the beginning and start all over again, rather than start where you are now. So you have to go back to the beginning. You're always going back to the beginning. You start, because if there's any other mistake, again, back to the beginning. So while you're traversing the path, from one point to the next, there will be mistakes. So we follow the critic's idea, then we'll always be going back to zero, because every time there's a mistake, we have to go back to zero to correct it. Right? Rather than where we're at right now, correct it and then move forward. Like that. The true critic, on the other hand, advises us to preserve what we have already obtained. And to adjust our race from that point where we've arrived in the heat of our progress. Right? In other words, in the heat of our progress, we're enthusiastic and moving forward, mistakes may be made. Right? Krishna says, every action is covered by fault. So wherever it is, you just keep going until you get it there. Right? But if it's you go off this and go back to here, then start, oh, then they'll go back to here, then go back to, you'll never get anywhere. But it's a matter of you go, and if I'm off the track like this, bring it back onto track by moving again towards your goal. The shortest distance between any two points is a straight line. Right? So that doesn't mean going back to that. That's in the opposite direction. Right? If I'm at one point, I'm trying to go to a second point, I don't have to go backwards to a third point to get to it. No, progress is forward. Right? Does that make sense? He will never advise us to go to the point whence we started, as he fully knows that in that case there will be a fruitless loss of our valuable time and labor. He will direct the adjustment of the angle of the race at the point where we are. This is also the characteristic of the useful student. He will read an old author and will find out his exact position in the progress of thought. He will never propose to burn the book on the ground that it contains thoughts, which are useless. No thought is useless. Thoughts are means by which we obtain our objectives. So the good student also is, he will read an old author, and then if it's not complete, then how much of it is useful, he will then figure out this person is at this point. So what he says up to that point is useful. But beyond that, they don't have anything useful to say. Right? So what is useful, we take. In other words, this is giving the technicalities of how you apply, you know, the principle that Prabhupada gives of the swan being able to take the milk. The swan doesn't go, oh, there's water there, I'm not drinking this. No, it just takes the milk, leaves the water. Does that make sense? So that means you can get knowledge from anywhere, but this is the process. It doesn't replace. It's a matter of, it's used in the progress. So this is actually how Yukta Vairagya works. You don't throw out the Veda to get Yukta Vairagya. That's our foolish critic. Because Vyasadeva still is relevant today. Right? Being God, he can't be irrelevant. And anyone who says he is has to be taking an atheistic position. Right? It's that basic. Right? Maybe a little blunt, but it's that simple. The reader who denounces a bad thought does not know that a bad road is even capable of improvement and conversion into a good one. One thought is a road leading to another. Thus the reader will find that one thought, which is the object today, will be the means of a further thought, further object tomorrow. Thoughts will necessarily continue to be an endless series of means and objects in the progress of humanity. Right? So you're starting from wherever you are, and you don't take it, well, that's useless. No, you take that and there must be something useful there. Right? The guy's a butcher. Okay, now he's come contact Krishna consciousness. So now we would say everything that you know is useless. No, but to be a butcher, you have to be focused. You're not focused, you cut your hand off. Right? So that means there is something useful. Right? There is focus there. There is endeavor. You don't work, nothing happens. Right? So these things you keep. The other things that need to be corrected, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Rather than cutting up dead animals, you should be focusing on your spiritual life or other aspects. Right? That he's focusing, he's dutiful, he's trying to maintain his family, he's trying to get, you know, do his job there. That's good, that's kept. But now, do it in a more progressive way. Does this make sense? This is how, then, whatever position someone's in, they can maintain confidence, move forward. Then, if later on they become bewildered, do they go back to where they were? No, they may get stuck where they're at now, but they won't go back because they know they've progressed. The guy's a butcher. Then he joins Krishna consciousness. You throw out everything he's known before. That means everything good he knew before also is thrown out. Now what does he do in Krishna consciousness? He does whatever you ask him to do. And he's busy in that. As long as so it's a new thought. Then he starts with that. And then if it goes nicely, great. If it doesn't go nicely, where does he take shelter of? He again goes right back to where he was. Punar Musika Baba. Because you have not shown him how to get from where he was to where it is now. You simply said it's all useless and start afresh, start anew. Therefore, they're back pumping gasoline when they bloop. Does that make sense? Because you haven't actually progressed them as a person. You have as a devotee. But as a person, no, because they're unable to make that distinction. In the same way, a devotee bloops, everything he ever did is thrown out. You know, it took, 30 years before people would listen to Vishnu John music again? Right? People still haven't started listening to Achyutananda. Yeah? Somebody leaves, and then whatever good they did is thrown out. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about. How many things can you throw out until there's nothing? And who follows the process of throwing everything out until there is nothing?
Buddhists.
Buddhists, some other group? Mayavadis. Neti, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this, until there's nothing. You understand? Not very useful. It doesn't work socially, it doesn't even work spiritually in the long run. So that's why you have to be very careful. There's nothing that's a problem. It's a matter of seeing what is progressive in it, keeping that. And what needs to be corrected, you correct that. Right? Because one thought's leading to another. When it comes there, there's something more developed in the next thought. Right? So that the guy was out there having a job and, you know, good at it, that's good. That means here you have a reliable person who's responsible and can do work. Right? Better than the guy who is sitting there on the dole doing nothing. Right? Because him, you can't get to do anything. Right? But you may say, oh, he was a vegetarian, he bumped into the devotees, now he's, you know, living on our farm, you know, and still doing nothing, you know, nice guy. But this other guy, you know, he's an upfront demon, you know, he's a butcher, he's this and that. Yes, but now he can take that focus that he had and now use it in Krishna consciousness, and now he's doing so many nice things. Like, there's the funny story on that. It's not so related, but it's interesting in that line. One day, we were coming to India, I think it was, the boys were all coming from America to India, so they'd hired a plane, you know, and the whole plane, so then they stopped in London to pick up more devotees. And then while we were in the temple there, then I think next, you know, couple of days we were leaving for India, and so then, you know, I think it was Sunday, so everyone's shaving their heads and everything like that. So you go into the bathroom, there's this one devotee, in 1.5 minutes, I'm not joking, he'd shave your head perfectly, not a scratch, mark, nothing, not a hair. It was the best shave I've ever, you know, seen, right? And so then the guy is, you know, shaving away so fast and all this. And while he was shaving, I asked, wow, you're really good at this. What, you were a barber before? He said, no, a butcher. Okay. So there's the perfection of all those years that he could shave, you know, 20 brahmacharis in half an hour, you know, like that, you know, so. So does that make sense? Yes.
Right, what about in case of Narada Muni, who told the untitled throw away his bow and arrow?
We're telling him to throw away, he doesn't go down and, you know, continue at the slaughterhouse. But we're talking about what is useful there. What did Narad Muni ask him? What was the questions he asked him? What was it based on?
About his life.
His life. And what about his life? He's going to suffer, but why is he going through all that? What was the crux of the matter that made him change? Yes, he's working, he's doing that not because that's necessarily his preferred occupation. It is just an occupation that he can do. Right? And then take up and to maintain his family. Well, when he brought it out to him that they're not sharing in this, you know, you're doing this for them, so are they willing to take, you know, part of the blame? And they said, no, that's your business. Your business to take care of us. How you do it, that's your problem. Right? Then he could understand is that reciprocation of what he felt for them wasn't there. Right? So then there must be something more. So he didn't say, you know, this is nonsense, you're a sinful man, you're killing animals, or you're a dacoit, or whatever it is. Like that. He just said, you know, why are you doing this? What's behind it? And is that solidly based? So that's what we're saying here, the same thing. It's what's it based on? Because that someone's a hunter or a butcher, or that's a detail. You know, the guy's running a bar. He could also be running a fruit stall. You know, in other words, he's doing business. It happens to be alcohol. So the principle of business isn't wrong. The principle of why he's doing business isn't wrong. it's just the particular detail of what business he chose, that's not so great. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, that could be adjusted. That's correcting what's wrong. It's not throwing out. This is the essential point. If we can do this, we can actually deal with people and encourage them. If we can't, it will be a very rough ride. Because then everybody has to throw out everything. Then when you throw it out, there were so many things of value you learned. Prabhupada told Subhagmaraj, what things you've learned from your parents, right, that are proper. Because, you know, he comes from Indian families, cultured, so they would have learned so many nice, proper Vedic culture. He says, don't forget that, right? Now you just add what I'm teaching on top of that, right? They gave you the culture, now I'm giving you the philosophy. Right? Does that make sense? But otherwise we come, so many nice things we know, we throw it all out because it's all Maya. And then what is the culture of a devotee? Just like this. What is devotee food? Prasadam. But what does it look like? What form?
Vegetarian.
Okay, vegetarian. That's that. But is there anything more than that? Any particular cuisine that you can go to everywhere on the planet and everybody can cook like that? You know what I'm saying? In fact, can you go everywhere and people know how to cook? No. So even though cooking is so important, it's put on the back burner that it's not really an important thing. Women don't want to do it because then it makes them look like they stay at home and there's something less. Men aren't about to do it because they just, you know, the mommy always did it, so therefore they just want to eat. Right? And because they don't know actually how to cook or how to eat, therefore, even if their wife can cook, they don't appreciate it, so the wife is not inspired, so therefore she doesn't cook as much as she could anyway. And why did that happen? Before joining, you know, for many, food was important. So that got thrown out. Well, where's that? Then clothes, it gets thrown out. Then? Would anybody before joining wear two socks that were two different colors? Right? But you must admit that the culprits hanging out the back were, you know, cutting edge, you know, of now where they wear the low riders and the underwear stick out, right? So you got to say the devotees were on top of it there, right? Does that make sense? So what happened to it? The same guy before, he looked nice. He would try to dress properly. What happened to it? Right? Does that make sense? Behavior. Before that, he was nice. He'd say hello to people. He'd do something, interact. Now as a devotee, he doesn't. What's happened? Right? Because it's this principle Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about. Everything was just thrown out, lock, stock, and barrel. And then nothing's left. Right? And now all the politically correct people are trying to say that we're missing something here. We're not dealing properly. We don't have all these things. We don't dress nicely. No one takes us seriously because we don't seem to have any kind of culture. Right? But the solution is replace it with modern rather than with our tradition. Does that make sense? So the point is you join and then you take it further. Right? In other words, the guy is really worried about his grungy t-shirt and his ripped jeans, you know, and his, you know, funky shoes, you know. He's got to get it just right. But the same thing is he could learn to just dress more nicely, how to wear his cheddar nicely, his dhoti nicely, like that. Or if he has to wear kami clothes, he could wear something nicer, you know, some proper clothes he could learn to wear. So people already come with this idea of looking good. But if you see devotees, when they dress, they don't necessarily look good. Right? And then how will people take seriously that, yes, I want to be like them, a slob. You know, I'm a professional, I work in the bank, you know, I do everything like that, but I want to be just like the devotees and be an absolute slob. Right? It's not going to happen. It doesn't happen. Right? So the idea is you have to see what is useful. And keep that. The detail naturally changes. That's always going on. Because as you go, the detail in math in grade 1 changes when you get to grade 2. But the principle doesn't. So if we threw out everything from class 1 to go to class 2, there'd be nothing for class 2 to be based on. Right? Oh yeah, ABCs, we know all that, you know, throw that out. No, but that's what the, you know, your advanced writing courses are based on, is ABCs. Right? So it's a matter of keeping what's important and moving on and refining, developing the detail so that it becomes more and more Krishna conscious, more and more useful in your Krishna conscious life. Right? Does this make sense? Okay, so this is then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is starting this because this is from the Bhagavat, so that means he's talking to a straight Karmi audience here. And this is British. Right? So he's bringing it out that no matter where you're starting from, there's something there of use that we can take and take it further forward in Krishna consciousness. Right? Because everybody has something like that. And then, but from that, you have to take that forward. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? Like that. So you're trying to get the essence of that. It's not that, oh, he told, because that's the detail. Right? The principle is he's out there maintaining his family. He's committed to his family. Right? He's willing to take these reactions for his family. This is something to work with. Right? But now, why not perform proper activity for the benefit of your family rather than improper? Then you benefit, they benefit, others benefit. In this way, what you're doing, basically everyone suffers. Some, you know, immediately and some later. Does that make sense? This is the kind of intelligence, this logic, or this anvikshiki is to develop. Right? So then, from that, okay. Okay, now to do this, then we have to establish, we want to make something so that we can always tell how to judge something, right? So that means then we're going to use the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. Right. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana is complete. Lord Chaitanya gives this point here. There's more later. Bhagavan Sambandha Bhakti Abhideya Hoy Prema Prayojana Veditin Vastukoy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the central point of all relationships. Acting in devotional service to Him is one's real occupation. And the attainment of love of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. These three subject matters are described in the Vedic literature." Madhyalila 6.178. So he's establishing that your relationships, whatever they are, but ultimately they are in connection with Krishna. He's the central point of all relationships. Whatever your relationship, Krishna is the center. Right? The real occupation or activity is in connection with Krishna. So that means whatever your occupation is needs to be connected. And the attainment of love of God is the ultimate goal. Other goals are in pursuance of that. Using them to get to there, that's fine. But to use them to take them as a final end, that's not going to work very good. Right? So, therefore, all the knowledge can be brought into this. Your sambandha will be your relationship, means that will have what is the element, what is the field of knowledge? So what are the elements within that field that make it, you call it that knowledge? You know, like if it's medicine, then you know, you have you have health, you have disease, you have the patient, you have the doctor, you have medicines, you have implements that they use, you have diets, you have lifestyle, you know, you have your mental state, you know, intellectual state, all these things, your devotional state, all these are going to affect your health, right? So that's the field of medicine, right? Then it'll have details how that work. Disease is when mucus, bile, and air is balanced. Disease is when it's out of balance. So that could be thrown off by something physical, something emotional, or something that you ate, right? So any of these kind of, they can cause disease. So you have to be able to deal with all this. Now the details of that, that is what makes up this science. Does that make sense? That's the field. Now then the operation of that, then you have to see that field ultimately is coming from Krishna. The science is coming from Dhanvantari. It's working on mucus, bile, and air, which is actually goodness, passion, ignorance. how goodness, passion, ignorance work in the philosophy also works in medicine. So the same thing, anything that's dealing with goodness, then that makes you healthy. Anything that's dealing with passion, ignorance, then tends to make you sick. Right? So it's the same principles. All it is the field is being observed from the point of health, because the field is Krishna, because Krishna is everything. Right? So then, seeing it in this way, then you see that, okay, then that means the process of applying this medicine then still has to be connected to Krishna, because the field is Krishna. Right? So how does Krishna want it applied? What are the methods? And then the goal is to please Krishna. Right? Our health is so that we can do service to Krishna. Right? And we've done it by following Krishna's recommendation on health. Right? So everything is about Krishna. That's the way it works. It's not just Ayurveda because it's Vedic, we follow. No, that's not enough. That's pious. You're turning to the Vedas instead of not turning to the Vedas. That's nice. So it's a place to start from. But as being pointed out, it has to be progressive. So the things of only being interested in health for health's sake, that needs to be corrected. Right? Health should have a purpose, not just to be healthy. Right? Otherwise, that's like reading and not using it. So health has to be applied. So that's applied in Krishna consciousness. Right? That makes sense. Then you're starting with the health, it's okay, that concept, and you're using it. Then it becomes progressive. Now you move that forward into Krishna consciousness. Right? So that's what you're trying to do. So wherever you're starting from, you're starting from there. So this is a pious start. Right? And as the example we gave before, the butcher, that's an impious start. But there's principles of each that you can build on. Now, you get it from the butcher up to that platform, the Ayurveda. Okay, he's good with a knife, now he can become good with a scalpel. Okay, that may take a little bit of time and knowledge and practice. But the point is there's a progress, natural progress. Right? And so nothing is thrown out. It means you keep the principle, is kept. And that means, because the principles always connect back to Krishna. Right? Because things only function based on God's laws. Right? There's only God's laws working. And if you follow them, it works. So even the guy's a butcher, there's still laws of God that are applying there. Right? He hits the flesh, it cuts. He hits the bone, it breaks the knife. Right? So he has to know what he's doing. So he's still following laws. But he's following at a very minimal detail. But the principle of following God's laws, that there's a right way and a wrong way of doing something for attaining a purpose, all he has to do is adjust his purpose. And then the methods of getting there adjust. Right? So does that make sense? How it changes? I hope no one is disturbed by the more blunt example. But I wanted to use something blunt so that we can see that how deep this philosophy is. Otherwise they'll go, yes, 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 but if something's sinful, we throw it out. Yes, there's something there about it that is there. Prabhupada, how did he change that drunkard to be a devotee? He told him that taste that you're getting there, that's Krishna. Right? You're drinking alcohol, there's a taste you're getting, that's Krishna. Right? So, of this, you can offer the wine part of it can't be offered, but wine's also made out of water. So the pure water and the alcohol, offer that. The rest of it, you know, don't bother with. In 2 weeks, the person moved into the temple. Right? So that's starting with what, this is what we're talking about. You're starting, that's what made Prabhupada so special, is he would do this. No matter what background you are from, he made you feel comfortable and you move forward. Does that make sense? This is important. Because every soul is Krishna's servant. Just somehow or another, due to, you know, time and that, then they've gotten themselves into various unique situations. So whatever the unique situation, it's still controlled by God's laws. It's still within the 8,400,000 or the mentalities thereof. So it still can be applied to God's laws. Does that make sense? Okay. So then that sambandha abhideya and prayojana comes into play. So then we can see it's very important to be able to use this, because whatever the situation, you can judge it, pick what's good from it, and then create a process from that, or point out a process, follow a process that gets you to the ultimate goal. Does that make sense? So that, then that is established, so when we present that or study it, then we have what's called Panchanga Nyaya. It means the five steps of logic. So that means these five steps is you're going to, you're going to create, you're going to make a point, right? Okay. You're going to make a point. That's your thesis. Right? This is also, so this is Vishraya. There's two definitions of this. One is more on when you're just understanding or presenting something to an audience that's, you know, a willing audience. And the other is for someone who has an objection, right? So that there would necessarily be a debate. At the same time as even a willing audience has doubt. So you have to address that. It's just a matter of which becomes more prominent. The presentation, the natural flow of the presentation, or clearing doubts. But in the natural flow, there's also clearing of doubts. So the two systems are actually the same. It's just where the emphasis is, like that. Does that make sense? You had a question or something?
The question is like the cleaning process. So when the river flooded,
yes.
So the river take away every little ingredient existing there. Everything is, even the grass is removed from there. The new water comes there.
So yeah, but the ground's still there and the water's still there.
There the water is still there.
No, okay. So what's your point?
So when you get to the
point.
When the whole system is there, you must not rip out the whole system. You said the good things can be kept.
Yeah, where is the water going in this flood? What is it going on?
Going to the bigger body of water.
No, that's there, but what is it traveling on?
From higher surface to lower surface.
Okay, and what is that surface is traveling on? What's it sitting on? What does the water sit on?
Ground.
Ground. Okay, so does the ground go away?
In the medium.
Does the earth go away when there's a flood? No. So then the earth is still of value. So that's the foundation. Right? And here also, you're saying it's coming in and fresh water comes, but this is a destructive process. So we're talking about a constructive process. So why would you want to use a destructive process to prove that destruction is actually progress?
When the new water comes, it's
obvious. Yeah, but so the new water, but the new water is sitting in your living room, so you want new water in your living room? Is that the progress? Now you have new water in your living room. Before you had no water in your living room, now all your furniture is gone, and now you have fresh water in your living room. So is that a progress? So it's a bad analogy. The purpose of it is we just go in without thinking, I have an idea, wipe out everything that's there before, and I just establish my idea starting from where I'm thinking rather than from what's actually there. So that means you're not dealing with the present. It's a mode of ignorance. So it won't, it's destructive. A flood's destructive. Bad example. You know what I'm saying? You could say you have a glass and you pour water into it and the dirty things in the glass slowly get pushed out if you put enough things, you know. But you can throw out the water, put fresh water, but the glass remains. You have to understand what still remains. You know what I'm saying? Because you come in, throw out the government, you still have the same people that you're governing. You still have the process of authority. So if you go in and wipe out authority, right? They go in, take the king, cut off his head, right? And so then what happened to the guys that cut off his head? After a few years, he got his head cut off, right? And then what? And then there's chaos. So was that good for the people? People need authority. Then you establish this other authority is better, or you go in and correct the authority. But to get rid of the authority, that's the system for idiots. Right? Idiots try it all the time. Right? People who really know governance will never do that. They will never bring down authority to establish authority. They'll never do that. You transfer from one to the next. That's the method. You know? But they destroy everything, and then everything's ruined. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be very, very careful about this. Otherwise, everybody's happily going on. I get harassed so much about, you know, in school we don't teach history, modern history. And I say, why should we teach it? Because people learn from it. You know, what's the past? I haven't seen one devotee learn from history. Whenever they do a revolution, they do it exactly like the French or Russian or any of these other, and they get exactly the same result. You know, and I'm not joking, it's exactly the same. You can watch it happening. You know, it's just a matter of time before, you know, it turns from, you know, Louis XVI into Napoleon, or from the Tsar into Stalin. That's all. It's just time before that gets that. And then you're dealing with worse authority. And this one has no culture, no tradition. You understand?
In a running society, we have to deal with time. You know, we cannot just say...
Deal with time. Yeah, so I'm talking about the present. You're talking about, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about present only.
Present only. So then present, why then you would, what's there to destroy?
The thought.
The thought. So then what's wrong with the thought?
Because,
you have a potato. You're peeling the potato. If there's a little spot on the side, what do you do? Yes, so that's my point, and that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's point. Your point is throw the potato out. In fact, throw out the whole bag. So we'll stop there. Okay. So now this Panchanga Nyaya, you're going to want to beware of that, because these principles and that basically from today, now then all the things we've been introductory up to now. So now from today, because many have been asking, you know, where's the homework, where's the this, that, so now you get it. So the reading of this, so now the first readings will be in Ishopanishad. We have the introduction and how do you say? I mean, just as it is going through, we need to start reading. And then with that, then there'll be short essays. We're dealing like in 250-word essays, very short. The idea is it's long enough to say everything you need, but not too long to, you know, have to just fill it out. Point is, if you can say it 250 words, means you understand it. Like that. It's kind of like what Prabhupada says in the japa, right? You know, you can chant in 5 minutes, then it's good. You do less than that, you won't be paying attention. If it's longer than that, you're spacing out. Okay? So that's the idea of these things. There'll be many, many of these short essays. So in that, while you're reading the purports, then we'll be aware, we'll discuss it tomorrow, this Panchanga Nyaya, you will notice that Prabhupada uses this in the purports, and everything he's describing is according to Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. Right? Does that make sense? So then this is to be given out?
Registered students.
Hmm?
Registered students.
Okay, registered students. Here we have some, starting on here, on the first essay question, and that will be dealing with, based on study materials you've heard in the Bhakti Shastri class, write your understanding of Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, relationship, activity, and goal, and explain how they interact. And then after that, then, how do you say? Then on Ishopanishad, then will be, how do you say? The registered students expected to read in advance. It means if you want to get credit for the course, read this, do this, write the essays. If you're just happy to hear, you're not looking for credit, you're welcome to come and sit and listen. That's not it. You can sit in on it. Okay, and then, yeah. And as we go, then as the time, as we get more focused, then there'll be more emphasis on those who are registered students, then they'll be asking the questions, because it'll be specifically in line with what we're doing. Like that. In here you'll notice it also mentions invocation, and the mantras 1 and 15 are the prominent ones. These are the ones Prabhupada always uses, so you want to pay a special attention to them. The whole book's important, but those especially. So then these can be given out. Here it says the Bhakti Shastri course is based on the Bhakti Shastri books that Prabhupada gives. The degree that comes from this is not Bhakti Shastri. Right? We have our own degrees. The academy gives their own degrees. Bhakti Shastri, that's the, right now as it stands, the VTE method. So that's done by the MIHE, by the VIHE, you know, and by different devotees that are connected with that. They give the Bhakti Shastri degree. We give a different degree. But it's same book studied, like that. So that's why I mentioned this Bhakti Shastri course. Technically, it's got another name, like that. It's called the Shastra Chakshus, like that. So that's the... Okay, so then those who are registered or want to be, then you can take these papers from Pandava Bandhavaji. And then we'll continue with this for the next day or two, or however long it gets to do. After that, then there'll be a discussion. That's when your essay on this would be then applicable, right? After we finish discussing, you know, all this about Ambikshiti. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
Registered students, please come and get your homework assignments. Stand up.
Question about election. Election procedure.
About election. Election vote.
For example, for the president in America.
Oh, election.
Election. They also are doing things the wrong way.
There's elements of it that are useful.
There's elements that are useful.